Good morning, friends, and welcome here to worship at the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Matt, and along with Linda, we serve as the co-pastors for this community, and we're grateful to gather both in person and online in this beautiful morning. There is a lot that is happening here at the table this morning, a lot of moving parts. Pastor Linda is actually with family in Tennessee. She traveled back home. Her uncle passed away not long ago, and she's spending time there with family, moving through a memorial together in that space. And so I'm particularly grateful today to have Debbie Edgar and Kara Tupi, who'll be helping to lead worship with me. They've both just recently started the ordination process and are moving in that direction, wondering about the sense of call that God has on their life and whether they might be moving into ministry and what that could look like. We are gathering as a United Methodist Church, so our regional denomination is meeting just down the street at the convention center. We're right behind the tattoo convention. It's kind of cool. theirs is a lot more interesting, but... And we're behind that space, and we have folks representing us, our delegates to that space. We have Jean, who is there, and Becca, and Sarnit, and Spencer, clergy from our community that are there, Jorge and Mary Chang, Greg Berquist, who's here with us this morning, who's a general secretary in our church and retiring. So many folks who are Kristen Song King and others who are connected with our community are down in that space, gathering this moment. Retired clergy like Dave Schlager and others. And then Sarnit and around 30 folks are making their way down to the Pride Parade, and they're going to represent us in celebrating God's love for all, where all means all. A few years ago, we were behind the gay cowboys, and there are some who are hoping we're behind the gay cowboys once again. We'll see what happens, though. You never know. We are going to move into worship with a song, and this song was written by our amazing music team at a writing retreat in the winter, and the title of this song is All Means All. And our denomination, just over the last couple months, has made a really historic move toward celebrating the inclusion of all of God's people in ministry and in life together. And that has not always been the case. Since 1972, we've had exclusionary language that has not allowed queer people to be married officially in the United Methodist Church or to be ordained, even though we here at the table and others in this area have resisted that over all of these years in so many different ways. One of the things that was written into that original language was also this phrase: we affirm all persons are individuals of sacred worth created in the image of God. And so we just leaned hard into that part of what was in the Book of Discipline and said, we're going to trust that God's grace is going to find its way as it always does. So I'll invite you to stand in body or spirit, and we're going to move together in song. This is our music team sharing their own original piece of music called All Means All.
And the days ahead seem cold and hard.
Amen. I'm going to invite us to be seated and invite our eighth graders who are promoting from middle school to high school to come up here with their families, if they would come up with us as well. And also our seniors who are graduating, have graduated, and moving on from that space. Let's have our middle schoolers come over on that side where Denise and Julianne are. And then we'll have our senior high folks come, our graduates over on this side. And Andy is going to help us. Andy is our community gatherer at Table Farm.
All right. Hi, everyone. So today we gather today to bless and celebrate three young people who have completed middle school. So Zoe will be promoting from Sutter Middle School and will begin in the fall at Folsom High School. Eleanor is promoting from Miwok Middle School and will begin in the fall at West Campus. And Nate is promoting from Chico Country Day School and will begin in the fall at Inspire School of Arts and Sciences. And today we also gather to celebrate four young people who have graduated from high school. Kelsey has been a farm fellow and apprentice. She's now a graduate of St. Francis and will be going to UC San Diego to study environmental policy. Yes. And then Lily has also been a farm and fellow apprentice and will be an apprentice again this summer. She's now a graduate of Christian Brothers High School and will be attending Santa Clara University to major in environmental sciences. And then Mia has been a part of our childcare team and also a godly play teacher. She's now a graduate of St. Francis High School and will be attending Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts. A historically female liberal arts college where she'll study psychology and minor in Spanish. Mia was selected for their 21st century scholarship.
Let's see.
And then Nathan has supported Table Farm throughout his high school journey and dedicated his senior year service project to Table Farm. He's also helped sell bread on Sundays. He's now a graduate of Jesuit High School and will either be attending Purdue University to study computer engineering or Cal Poly to study materials engineering.
Beautiful. Amen. So I'm going to invite us to stand in body or in spirit. And we're going to have on the screen a prayer first that we'll share together, that we'll all share in one voice in celebration of these phenomenal, brilliant young people. So let us be in a spirit of prayer as we give thanks for this milestone of those promoting and moving into these next steps of high school on this side and graduating this year together. So let us be in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, thank you for our eighth graders and high school seniors this morning. Thank you for the educators who have walked alongside them. Thank you for the families who have supported them. Thank you for all you have done, are doing, and will continue to do in and through them. Thank you for your healing love that calls them and us into beloved community. Inspire us by your Holy Spirit that we might choose this day and every day to root our lives in grace, grow in faith, reach in love, and give generously. So I'm gonna invite our eighth graders that are promoting to come right over here for just a moment, okay, into the very center, and our graduates to come here as well. In the church, we have a way of praying, and some of us come from traditions where this is really comfortable, and others are gonna get nervous as soon as I say it. And so I wanna just invite you to breathe through it. You're gonna be all right. And we're gonna pray together. I'm gonna share the spoken prayer for folks. And what I'm gonna invite you to do is to raise a hand like this. This is a way that the church has laid hands on young people. And so I invite families to come around your seniors on this side and to come close to them. The same on this side. I know it's gonna get comfy and we'll find our way. Good job, family. All right, friends, let us continue in a spirit of prayer. As your classes and your grading are now complete, may you take brain breaks and screen breaks and body breaks and play breaks whenever you need them as you take these next steps. As the speeches conclude, may your voices now rise to speak love, justice, and peace into the world. As the celebrations cease, may you express gratitude even when you're not quite sure what comes next. As the applause quiet, may you celebrate and lift up those around you. As you graduate, may your hearts grow as you get ready to bring your unique, beautiful selves into new friendships, new wider circles of learning and care. And may we all know of the grace of God who creates us all, the world, and may we fall ever deeper in that love. Let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
We have a special gift. Our musicians are going to help us move right into wider circles, but we have special gifts for our eighth graders. They're copies of the First Nations version of the New Testament. And then we have candles that we're going to invite our graduating seniors to take with them as they journey into these new places, bringing just a small part of the light of God from this community as they go. So we'll stay standing and move into wider circles.
We are moving in wide circles. We are
nature's always wrong. We are moving in water circles. We are opening our circles. We are moving in water circles. We are opening our circles. We are moving in water circles. We are opening our circles. We are moving in water circles. We are opening our circles. We are opening our circles. We are opening our circles. We are opening our
Good morning. My name is Debbie Edgar. Sarnit has asked me to invite all of you who are going to the Pride Parade today. If you aren't at the Next Steps table, you should be. So, skedaddle. We welcome those gathering online at thetable.live. Our host today is Jay Phoenix. Today's bulletin is available with QR codes for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith, please go to our website, thetableumc.org, and complete an online connect card. Those who are going with Sarnit this morning, our Sunday morning coordinator, are joining others from the religious communities in Sacramento as part of the Sacramento Pride March. As we celebrate Pride this month, we'll also host a Pride potluck here at the table this coming Saturday, June 15th. You'll find details and signups on our website. I invite you now to stand in body or spirit as we continue to move in worship with our music team sharing an original song they created during a writing retreat earlier this year. The song is arranged by Ariel, and the lyrics are inspired by Mother Teresa. This is We Belong.
I'm gonna teach you the melody to this so that you can sing along, all right? So it's pretty simple. It goes like this. One, two, three. We belong to each other. We belong to each other. We belong to each other. Remember, we belong. That's all it is, yeah? Okay. We belong to each other.
Remember, we belong. Good morning. My name is Bob Martinez, and our reading this morning comes from the third chapter of Mark, and I'll be sharing from the First Nations version, an indigenous translation of the New Testament that you heard a little while ago as gifts. And of course, we invite you to follow along. Now, Creator sets free Jesus, then returned to his house in village of Comfort, Capernaum. Just like before, a large crowd gathered there, so many that he and his followers were not able to eat. When his relatives heard about this, they tried to take him away from there because the people were saying, "He has lost his mind." The scroll keepers from Village of Peace, Jerusalem, were there also, saying, "He stands from with worthless ruler Beelzebub," they accused him. "For his power to force out evil spirits comes from the one who rules over them." So Creator sets free, gathered them around himself, and spoke to them with these words, these wise sayings. "Now how can accuser, Satan, that evil trickster, force out evil spirits? Can he defeat himself? If a nation wars against itself, that nation cannot stand. A family that fights against itself will fail. In the same way, if accuser rises up against himself, then how will he continue to rule? No one can enter the house of a strong man and take away his goods unless he first defeats him. Then he can take away his goods. I speak from my heart. Humankind will be released from all their wrongdoings and evil speaking. But whoever speaks evil of the Holy Spirit will not be released. This wrongdoing will follow them into the world to come and to the end of days." He said this because they were saying of Creator sets free, "He has an evil spirit." Then his mother and brothers came to him outside the house and sent word to him to come out to them. The crowd that was sitting in a circle around him said, "Look, your relatives are outside looking for you." "Who are my relatives?" he asked them. And he looked around at the circle of people. "Here they are. The ones who walk in the ways of the Great Spirit are all my relatives, my mother, my brothers, and my sisters." Brothers and sisters, I now invite you to stand as you're willing and able. And it's a great song that just came out a couple of weeks ago, and this is the first time you'll be hearing it. Our music team presents Rock My Soul.
Been a motherless child, I've been an orphan alone, looking for comfort for my soul. No matter how hard I try, no matter which place I go, nothing can heal me except you, Lord. You rock my soul in your love. Together we're making a home, oh Lord, sweet Lord. Do 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 do. I wanna welcome you in, make you feel at home, but there are still
that I could cruise. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Swing wide the gates, unlock the doors. You rock my soul in your love. Oh, together we're making a home. Oh, Lord, sweet Lord, you rock my soul. Rises up like mother's love with healing in her wings. Hold me close now, speak tenderly, and rock me till my fears have been relieved. Oh, my soul cries for you, Lord, your presence is beautiful. All I want is you. You rock my soul. Only you can make me whole. Your love, it is fortune and gold. All I want is you. All I want is you. Oh, Lord.
And I invite us to be seated, and that may be the first time we've shared it, but it's been on repeat in my car all week long. And now we have a new version of it, so we are grateful for that. I want to invite our children. We have some beautiful gifts to send with our Godly Play teachers. We have 15 amazing folks, teenagers and adults, who've watched over our children in love during this whole school year. And so we will be sharing these beautiful plants with those teachers after worship this morning. But I want to invite our children. We're starting a series called, or in a series called Break On Through. And I want to invite our children to break on through that door with Mark, who's heading out. And our musicians are going to give us a little feel of breaking on through.
Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Our children are going to move upstairs and celebrate together in the Godly Place sanctuaries. They celebrate a feast every week, and this morning that feast is going to be a more expansive one. So apologies to families who will be going home with a little more sugar this morning than normal. And as our musicians move down, I will say that several folks asked Linda if she knew, Pastor Linda, if she knew, do you know what that song is about last Sunday? She said, actually, I'm a child of Berkeley in the 70s. I don't have to say a whole lot more. And she's not here to correct me, so it doesn't matter. Invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may your grace and may your love move freely now and always in our hearts, in our bodies, in the depths of our souls, that we might hear, either through the words of my mouth or in spite of them, your deep abiding love for the world and for each of us. May we be called in this moment to listen ever more deeply for your spirit stirring in our hearts. Amen. In just a few months, the graduating seniors who were standing right over here just moments ago are venturing off to new places. Places like UC San Diego, Santa Clara, Mount Holyoke. We are so blessed to be with these, and still discerning Purdue, where there's like so many choices. When they return, though, and I know this is hard for families to imagine, but they'll return in the fall or the winter, and they're going to be changed. they'll actually be really different people. And it's impossible to know how, but I am certain that they will be transformed. Roommates, classes, campus life. It's going to open them to new ways of moving, seeing the world, perhaps seeing God, new understandings of what it means to be alive, who they are. And I imagine their next steps feel at moments like exhilaration and excitement, and other moments like a little bit of fear. At least I know it does for the families that love them. We have been so blessed by these four and other young people who we are sending to break through in this moment to life as they've known it into the new worlds that await them. And something very similar about that blessing is what is happening just before the reading that Bob shared from us this morning from the Gospel of Mark. Just before the lines that Bob shared, Creator sets free, blesses, and sends those closest to him. He says it like this: He chose 12 of them to learn his ways by being with him. And so he could send them out to tell the good story and to have the power to force out evil spirits. And he called them his message bearers. And I was thinking this week, as I was trying to imagine how we share a message with families gathering when Jesus is kind of deconstructing the notion of family, and what I found myself doing was wishing that Jesus, that Creator sets free, had sent these message bearers off like last week. I wish that Jesus was sending them off to a place of rest and Sabbath, because this would have been a much easier message to share if we were living in last week's call to really rest in the heart of God. But instead of breaking through to the other side into rest and Sabbath, this morning's reading has these recently blessed and sent message bearers running headlong into conspiracies and into the struggle, as we say. The struggle that threatens to destroy them and the very message that they're trying to live into and to share. Reverend Dr. Matthew Meyer Bolton helps us with some context. He says, Mark's world is full of shadows and menace, riddled with demons who distort creation and overwhelm hearts and minds. Human beings are cast as porous creatures open to spiritual influences. And Jesus himself earlier is driven deep into the desert by the Holy Spirit, and many people are possessed, is the language, by unholy ones. On first glance, this way of understanding the world can seem archaic, old, and strange. But after all, when we read the Bible, we engage ancient texts from halfway around the world. It's only natural that they feel countercultural and unfamiliar at first. Think of this as a kind of travel, including time travel. The opportunity to stay open to how another way of thinking and living can shed new light on our own. Or in the vein of our current worship series, how these cross-cultural, unfamiliar stories could help us break through into new understandings of life and faith. And this morning, we're wondering specifically about how this biblical witness might inspire us to break through in our understandings of what it means to be family. The family shows up on both sides of this kind of enigmatic place that Jesus goes. Our reading for today opens with Jesus returning home to his family. It starts there. And the First Nations version says this: Creator sets free, then returned to his house in village of comfort. And my deep hope is when these young people return home in a couple months, that that's what this place will feel like for them, is a place of comfort. But the truth and what happens in this is that returning home would actually provide anything but comfort for Creator Sets Free. See, instead of being welcomed home for brain breaks, for play breaks, like we're hoping for our young people to experience, Jesus is instead taken away by relatives because the crowds around him are saying, quote, he has lost his mind. He has lost his mind. And I wrote, maybe some of us have had that experience, others telling us maybe we've lost our mind. But the truth is, I've had this conversation with enough of you to know that so many of us have had experiences of other people, often in the name and usage of Christian language, telling us we've lost our mind. We've ventured away from home, and our world views have changed. And it makes the comforts of home that we once experienced feel really unsettling. Even brings up fear for some of us. I think of young people in my generation who came out while they were away in college. The folks, many of whom are walking right now at Pride, too often returning home, not to comfort, but to hostility, to enmity, and usually in the name of God. And I think of folks in our community whose lives and their lived experiences have caused them or us to rethink some of the assumptions which guided and shaped the faith of our childhood, faith that we held on to, that for some of us shaped us in beautiful ways, but we have moved from that and been transformed, and we see the world differently. And it's guided us into a new way of expressing faith, and then we come home, and home does not feel comfortable. Or the untold number of folks who right now are climate refugees, who are seeking asylum, economic migrants who are just trying to find a way to get by, folks who will actually never see home again as a place or a village of comfort. And the upright and set apart religious leaders pick up on these rumors about Jesus. Not only is he possessed, they declare, he's possessed by the ruler of demons. They double down. And that's why the demons listen to him, because he's possessed by them. Oh, the ways the upright and set apart religious leaders in our day weaponize distortions of religious language to demonize people. I've come to think about it so much this week, this language that the First Nations version uses, they call the Pharisees and Sadducees, I think it's much more helpful language, the upright and set apart ones. Upright and set apart. And I've been thinking, if you were to drop a person into the world today, and you were to give them even less the couple days to tell you a little bit about what this way of Jesus was, I'm pretty confident that most of them would come back reporting really loudly on what we hear from the upright and separated ones, tragically. This seems to have taken the place of the voice of Creator Sets Free in so much of our religious landscape. Jesus responds to those religious leaders in his day, and he does it with parables. This is usually, and Pastor Kelly Love is going to be with us next week to talk about this more, about how parables are a way that we might break through into new language. And Jesus says, if a nation wars against itself, the nation cannot stand. A family that fights against itself will fall. In the same way, if accuser, Satan, rises up against himself, then how will he continue to rule? No one can enter the house of a strong man and take away his goods unless he first defeats him. Matthew Meyer Bolton again. For Mark's storytelling purposes, this exchange puts Jesus' mission into sharp relief. Accused of being in league with death-dealing forces, he's actually at work defeating them, all for the sake of the world's salvation. Salvation, that's that Latin salvus, it means health. Salvation, health. Jesus' family returns to him. Amid this back and forth with the set-apart religious leaders of his day, and in a way that would devastate me as a parent, Jesus seems to question whether all really means all to his own mom, his bio family. With them standing outside, he says, who are my mother and my brothers? Whew. Dr. Jean Choi Tate offers this insight into the moment. Jesus comes across as hostile, shockingly harsh, almost anti-family. If Jesus' treatment of his family shakes our modern sensibilities, I can only begin to imagine its impact on his hearers, given the Jewish emphasis on family at the center of their religious practice. For generations, Hebrews had understood salvation to be transmitted through birth into a Hebrew family. Marriage and procreation were seen as the highest of blessings. And here comes Jesus proclaiming a new family defined as those who seek to do God's will, whatever their family or kinship background might be. His family thinks he's crazy, and the scribes claim he's possessed by Satan. Indeed, she says Jesus is possessed by a new vision of what it means to live in community and in relationship with God. For those who seek to follow Jesus, then, neither kinship nor right belief suffice. What matters most is participating in God's mission to bring healing and hope and restoration, what the church calls salvation, healing, hope, restoration. And Jesus invites us to break through in our understandings of family, seeing all those who co-conspire for health, for hope and restoration as sibling, as brother, as sister, as mother. And so perhaps then it's not just our graduating seniors who are being blessed and sent this day into the world. Perhaps all of us are called in this very moment to co-conspire for health, for hope, for restoration, for the movement of God's mission in our homes, our neighborhoods, and indeed to the ends of the earth that God so loves. Amen. Kara is going to come to help us move together. One of the ways that Jesus invites us into experiencing this vision of a new community is this practice called communion or common union, a place where we physically come together around a table, God's table, where all are welcome and all truly means all. And we acknowledge first, though, as a people of God, that we stumble at actually living this out. Sometimes the ways of the upright, set apart ones get inside of our own bones, and we become the very things that we so hope to move away from being. And so the church has called this a prayer of confession, and I'll invite you to stand in body or spirit. And this morning, Seska just graduated in the last month from Yale Divinity School, and she's been with our team. And Seska has shared this for us. This is a prayer that comes to us from the mystic and the prophet, Howard Thurman. So you'll hear Seska's words share with us. And let us allow this from Seska to be our prayer of confession from Dr. Thurman.
Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. Here is the citadel of all my desiring, where my hopes are born and all the deep resolutions of my spirit take wings. In this center, my fears are nourished and all my hates are nurtured. Here my loves are cherished and all the deep hungers of my spirit are honored without quivering and without shock. In my heart, above all else, let thy love and integrity envelop me until my love is perfected and the last vestige of my desiring is no longer in conflict with thy spirit. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart.
God looks upon your heart of hearts with eyes of love. Friends, you are precious in God's sight, loved, forgiven, part of God's forever family. May the people of God say amen.
Amen. And let us join now in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the generations. to recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within each of us and within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share a greeting of peace with your neighbors.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God, the sculptor, the painter, the creator, touched the swirling mass, and God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth, and plants turned green, and fruit began to grow ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water. And God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight. God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good." And then they rested. They broke through to a moment of Sabbath, but they couldn't hold that space for long. The people of God started to divide up. Who was separated, who was upright, who was in and who was out. And so God placed healing in the spirit of one who would come to embody love, one named Jesus. And God sent Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be and to call us to love one another.
Did all he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other, but we couldn't accept that. We couldn't agree about it, and we were afraid. The principalities and powers lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. In the end, Jesus was given away by the very people who thought they loved him best, because the challenge was too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them, promises us, that he would never leave us alone, but he would come back and take us home with him. Like those long ago friends, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us, or what his coming, going and coming again means to us. We can only be grateful and call out this mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Hosanna in the highest,
On that night, when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner, bread and wine, and he blessed it and gave thanks to God and said, "I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me." Invite us to pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples, and we encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your heart. Our God,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them your hope alive in the world. Amen. We invite you to be seated. Friends, all are welcome here to this table. All truly does mean all. We encourage those who are gathering with us at home or out moving around in the world to pause in this moment and to gather whatever you might use for bread or juice in this moment, to be in this spirit of communion together with one another and the Spirit that guides and leads us. For those that are here, perhaps for the very first time, we know always there are people that are doing this for the very first moment, and it takes so much courage to come to this space. And for some of us, this is a life practice. And most of us are somewhere in the middle on that continuum, but there's nothing that you can do, as Pastor Linda says almost every Sunday, to make a mistake in this space. So what'll happen is on the front, we'll have stations here that you're invited to come forward to. We'll also have a station in the back. On the plate, you'll find bread, and in the center, a gluten-free option for folks who need that. And in the cup is always grape juice in our tradition. And we invite you to tear off a piece of the bread or to take a piece of the bread and to dip that in the juice or to use the gluten-free cracker as you need to. Around you in the sanctuary are places to pause and to light a candle in prayer. And you're welcome to stay right where you are and to be in a spirit of prayer there as well. Our hope is that we will support and help one another as we move about. For some of us, we've done this so many times, and for others, we might be feeling brave to try it for the first moment, but there is nothing we can do to make a mistake, and we are in God's divine dance together. So our folks will help us with the stations, and friends, this is the bread of life, the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for the whole world.
Thank you.
we encourage those who are praying with candles to be in just the spirit of prayer for as long as you might need or desire. Loving God, for the depth of your hope for the world made known in Jesus, in whom we place our trust, we give you thanks for this simple and sacred meal that binds us together in and through your love. May we become the peace that you so long to see in this moment and all the days of our lives. Amen. Friends, it is our deep hope that you might wonder with us about the next steps that God is taking or inviting you to take and to step into in this moment. Pastor Linda and I will be working together with Kara and others over the summer to rework Growing in Faith, which is the resource that we use to help welcome people into what we call kitchen tables. It's how we share life together by holding our lives in conversation with the Great Commandment. And we'll be hopefully in September, the goal is, unveiling a new way of doing Growing in Faith together that'll lead us into those kitchen tables that so many of you are part of and practicing your faith within. This morning, I also want to celebrate, we have been collecting an offering all year long. So this is the number of, I went to the Golden One to put into the machine the nickels and dimes. I wish I had brought the number of each because I didn't have it, but we'll put it in the email. But we collected, our children did, and families did, and all of this will go to support families who are experiencing homelessness here in Sacramento through Mustard Seed School. But $352 in coins collected for Mustard Seed School, which is a beautiful expression of generosity. And there may be, so it's a beautiful way that we are reaching in love into forming children who see as part of their calling by God to be in it together with those around them. And so we're so grateful for the families that have given in that way, for all of you who make possible our ministries through your weekly or monthly gifts to this space, for folks that might be stirred for the very first time to make a gift to join with others in this way. We are so grateful for that. Outside is Rise Up Bread from Ezekiel, and we were just talking with him. He's on a feature now on Disney. You can see Disney Plus. It came out this week, and we're finalizing the details of that, and Z and the team will be here to begin baking bread. We cannot wait, but there is bread outside if you'd like to purchase that to take on this beautiful day. I'll invite you to stand in body or spirit. Our musicians are going to send us out with this reminder of our hope for this day. Are we not one?
Oh, are we rivers crossing every valley? Oh, are we waves upon the shores of time? Oh, are we stardust gathered through the ages? Are we not dreams of the one eternal? Oh, are we trees rising to the heavens? Oh, are we flowers unfettered by the thorn? Oh, are we pillars of a great eternal temple? Are we not one? Oh, Lord, are we not yours? Have we not joy in the midst of every shadow?
Have we not hope
in the deepest of the dark?
Have we not peace
that passes understanding? Oh, are we sons fashioned? Not sparks from an everlasting flame. Have we not joy in the midst of every shadow?
Have we not hope
in the
deepest of the dark.
Love in our peace
that passes understanding.
Love in our love.
We just stop and recognize there's a lot that's been going on today. Blessing of our eighth graders and sending out our seniors, our attendees at the Pride Parade, and then all of this wonderful gathering at the table. So I just want to send us with a message of peace this morning. As you leave this place, may you find a place of stillness in your body, of calm in your mind, and peace in your soul. Amen.
Oh, have we not joy in the midst of heavy shadow?
Have we not hope
in the deepest of the dark?
Have we not peace
that passes understanding?
Have we not love?
Are we not one? Oh Lord, are we not yours? Are we not one?